is the Lindell Report, bringing you news combined with hope by offering practical and achievable action points to assist you in defending and preserving faith and freedoms. And now, here is your host, Mike Lindell. All right, good evening. Glad you are with us. Mike is in Nashville speaking tonight, and joining me tonight is going to be Ivan Raiklin. Then I'm going to be joined by Joe Hoff, the Gateway Pundit, and then I'm going to be joined by Colonel Reynolds out of Arkansas, and we'll see. We may slip one more guest in here. We got breaking news as we're coming on the air tonight. Exclusive breaking news, according to the Daily Mail, is this the smoking gun? Letter from Michael Cohen letter from Michael Cohen claiming Donald Trump did not reimburse him for hush money paid to Stormy Daniels. Well, that appears to fly in the face of the star witness's grand jury testimony. So did he do that on his own? Is that what that was for? Of course, we now are hearing that the grand jury members were told to stay home. So it looks like this case may be falling apart. We're reading there's also divisions in the prosecutor's office. There's a lot of people, I guess, are on different sides of this issue. Well, of course they would be if the law is not being followed, because now the eyes of the nation are on this, including members of Congress demanding that this DA start answering questions. So this is getting heated up big time. That is one of the breaking stories tonight, and I understand there could be even more breaking stories tomorrow related to other topics on Capitol Hill. We'll keep you posted about that. You might want to tune into my show, 1 to 2 Central Time, tomorrow. We might be able to break some news there. Again, Mike Lindell is on a business tonight speaking in Nashville. We're holding down the fort for him here on the Lindell Report. We're going to go to Ivan here in just 1 second. We also have some video clips to play for you. But before we do, let me remind you that this is all brought to you by you. You're the ones that help us keep all of this going. We are sponsored by you, and we are sponsored by MyPillow. Remind the critics out there that Mike has many broadcast outlets that have promo codes, and Lindell TV is no exception. We have a promo code just like MyPillow gives promo codes to many other outlets. And if you want to support Lindell TV and the work of Mike Lindell and this broadcast, the Lindell Report, then we encourage you to go to MyPillow.com and use that promo code L77. Remember, there's a slipper sale on right now. There's also percale bed sheets. There's a clearance, a closeout of that. So we got great deals going on right now at MyPillow.com. Use that promo code L77. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, and much more. Promo code L77. Joining me now is Ivan Raiklin. Ivan, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Brandon, it's been quite some time.
You've been
good to be back.
Yeah. But you have a show every day, and I keep tabs of it. I was seeing some of it last night. I was late last night watching some of your shows over at WVWTV.com. But you're a busy guy. What's the latest? We got some video clips to play tonight, right?
Yeah, I think the latest as it applies to Capitol Hill, focus.
Let me just have you put that on hold. I'm sorry. Let me have you put that on hold because you are also an attorney. You're also, you are a Green Beret. You're also a constitutional attorney. So I would be remiss if I didn't ask your thoughts on this latest breaking news. Smoking gun letter from Michael Cohen claiming Donald Trump did not reimburse him for hush money paid to Stormy Daniels appears to fly in the face of the star witness's grand jury testimony. It's sounding from this like Cohen maybe did this on his own, whatever this is.
I'm going to back up and basically say the following, Brandon, is that President Trump has been the most investigated person, not only president, but probably U.S. citizen in our country's history with nothing to show for. So where I originally thought that maybe he was, maybe had a little bit of dirt in his background. After the Mueller investigation, for me, it was really sealing the deal that this is probably the cleanest businessman that our country has ever had the opportunity to have as becoming a billionaire because of the scrutiny that was applied with an unlimited budget with a fully, compliant DOJ and FBI that was trying to find something on him in order to discredit him so that he wouldn't uncover their lawless behavior going back to 2016. This is yet another extension of the Uniparty trying to deploy all of its resources and trying to essentially stretch the facts and stretch the law in such a manner to potentially get to some sort of a grand jury to then prosecute him for something, a misdemeanor or whatever. There's nothing there. There's no facts. There's no law to support it. And the pressure that they're getting from us patriots, seeing that this is what the fake prosecution occurring, I think they're trying to determine whether or not to proceed or not. It's a lose-lose situation for them, because if they find nothing, then guess what? We all see it for what it is. And then if they do actually arrest President Trump, guess what? That sets the precedent for us. When we take over, we're going to escalate to such a level, they're going to regret doing it, because we're going to go after all of the top leadership of both parties in the past that actually committed felony transgressions, and we're coming for you. And as Congressman Dan Bishop said, Mr. Speaker, we're putting the deep state on notice. We're coming for you. Those aren't just words. We're going to come for them, and it's going to be painful for each and every one of these, because they're not going to withstand the same level of scrutiny and investigations that they just placed on President Trump. And I'm not just talking about the Biden criminal syndicate evidence as evidenced by the laptop. I'm talking about the Bush, the Cheney, the Pences, all of them.
Do you think, I mean, if you had to guess, what do you think we would uncover with Pence, Cheney, Bushes?
Oh, how many hours do I have, Brandon? So I've done numerous podcasts and research and Substacks on this, but just to briefly answer that, I always have to remind people, who was the coronavirus, as they call it, task force lead in the White House, Pence, starting in March of 2020? It was Pence. And then when you have Jared Kushner as part of that mix, right? And then what about going back to 2016? You don't think Pence didn't know and provide top cover to Jim Comey and then Rod Rosenstein and then Robert Mueller, all, by the way, his buddies going back to when he was a congressman? You don't think he knew about the spying on the Trump campaign going back all the way to then? Yes, I think that almost certainly he knew and probably authorized and provided top cover for it. What about the Cheneys? You're talking about Lizzie Cheney, his future supposed running mate, after they do something with President Trump and move him aside and then DeSantis in Florida?
Are you saying that Pence was looking to pick Liz Cheney as his running mate?
I think that Liz Cheney is going to be Mike Pence's running mate. But that's in their myopic understanding of reality, which is not reality. I wrote a Substack basically explaining that right now, their 275 electoral votes are on lock to support Mike Pence and his presidential bid. Okay. And Liz Cheney performed the way she did as literally Pence's surrogate to lead the J6 cover-up committee for the Uniparty to give it some sort of modicum of bipartisanship, right? To have that perception for the lemmings of the world to think that, oh yes, it's a bipartisan event here with this J6 cover-up committee. So yeah, I absolutely think that they think that, you know, the Uniparty is going to foist up Mike Pence. Liz Cheney is going to be his running mate. Ron DeSantis, I don't know. I mean, the Pence crew is going to have to convince Ron DeSantis not to run. And what they're going to do with Trump is they're going to continue to try to escalate this. I don't put it past them. And I hate to say this, but I think the Uniparty is going to use the John Kerry's of the world for him to call his friends in Iran, the Ayatollah, to go ahead and perform on that video that they were trying to kind of hint at. Remember when they did the video of them doing attack on Mar-a-Lago?
We were, I think, the first media outlet to play that. Within hours of it coming out, our correspondent and associate producer, Annie Cyrus, who is from Iran, she brought that to our attention, and and we played it on my broadcast, and I think we were the first national outlet
to
broadcast that and warn about that. And of course, all of that, by the way, I'm told by Annie, has gotten her a 12th fatwa on her head from Iran for what she's been doing with us, what she's been doing with me, that she comes on my show, Brandon House Live, so routinely to give updates and to translate these social media posts into English for us. That's gotten her a 12th fatwa, and apparently, according to her research and her people, it's gotten me and my organization on their radar as well. So, yeah, I'm very aware of what you're talking about. But what you're saying now is The deep staters in America.
Escalating. They've been conducting this coup and escalating in a way that's, I mean, look at what happened. They started with the spying on the Trump campaign, then the Ukraine call, then the impeachment one, then the impeachment two, and then the whole stolen, illegally certified election, then the J6 facilitated an unlawful entry. They're just escalating, and where does it end? I mean, it ends in literally political assassinations, just like they did in the 1960s. I've said on previous shows, we're reaching a point in their lawlessness of this executive branch and their surrogates that we're kind of at a confluence of the 1770s, the 1860s, and the 1960s in America. And I'm talking about that revolutionary civil war meets the cultural revolution of the 1960s that was fomented by the Soviet Union through that ideological subversion. So create all that, those three prongs into one, and amplified by a rising China and pretty much almost surpassing us at this point in many metrics, coupled with the advice of Russia. And we just, like, I've been saying this for years, and I think most people are starting to wake up to that after seeing Xi and Putin having the meeting, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, that's really consummating that in the public discourse.
Absolutely.
And so hopefully people are going to wake up, and this toxic, feckless, stone-cold, coward Congress is actually going to do something about it, at least on the House side.
And, you know, you go back to the 60s, we're talking about weather underground and there are multiple bombings, and now those people have made it into key places.
Right, I'm talking about Martin Luther King Jr., the political assassinations there.
Yep, yep.
Again, by the executive branch of our federal government.
Very
I'm
likely.
Talking about the FBI, right?
Yes, yes, yes. In fact, I don't
and
know
now
if you
we
saw
have the
my
DHS.
I don't know if you saw my interviews with Judge Joe Brown. I did one with him recently, but I did one with him probably 3-4 years ago. He went into great detail on why there's overwhelming evidence that some rogue a division or something within the FBI were actually the ones that assassinated Martin Luther King Jr. And there's great detail.
I wouldn't say that it was rogue. I mean, that was probably a deliberate action. Maybe it was a siloed kind of separate organization,
yes,
or team that was created.
I guess what I'm trying to do
J.
is I'm trying
Hoover,
to but... I'm trying to separate it from the good guys that were in the agency back in the 60s, many of them who are some of our biggest, you know, like Terry Turchie. I don't think Terry was there in the 60s yet, but we got a lot of guys like Terry Turchie who are some of the most vocal retired FBI agents right now on how corrupt the FBI's become. And I'm just trying to separate those kind of guys from whoever pulled that off. So you're right, it was probably siloed, but I don't know if you did any research. There are two specific rifles missing that the FBI had a collection of them, and two of them went missing, and those were the ones that lined up ballistically with the headshots on Martin Luther King Jr.
I don't know about those details. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I always say this, name 1 year since 1908 when the Bureau of Investigation was created and later changed the name to FBI. Give me 1 year where they didn't conduct unconstitutional activity. And hopefully this piece of legislation, I think promulgated by Matt Gaetz, is going to actually pass, at least in the House, where it's going to stop the new headquarters from being funded, right?
Yes, yes.
In the Northern Virginia area, which is actually going to be a few miles away from my home here. And then possibly remove and defund, at a minimum, the Washington field office, as well as, I mean, I argue at this point, the entire funding mechanism, and I put this out in a tweet and online on social media, that the House of Representatives needs to fully defund all executive branch institutions that have conducted lawless activity over the last several years, namely FBI, the National Security Division of the Department of Justice, the basically the FISA court with their transgressions for what they did with Carter Page, right? And that FISA.
Yep.
And then the Department of Homeland Security. All of these entities need to be, they need to receive zero funding until they can showcase a mechanism that provides for full transparency so that this lawlessness can never happen again. Absent that, guess what? If you want to work, you can come into work and be a volunteer.
Wow. And let me go back to the 60s again, because you're right. The Soviet Union was so busy involved in their campaigns here. And then you have the communist Black Panther Party that were stirring for, as their own words, guerrilla warfare in the streets of America. And of course, we remember the Watts riots and a lot of the burning that took place in the 1960s, which remind a lot of us of what was happening in 2020. So
absolutely.
I agree with how you're talking about this cultural revolution meets this revolutionary activity. But of course, the issue is a lot of these people are now in government, and they're using the power of these agencies to carry out this cultural revolution. But they're the ones now carrying out the terrorism under the cover and color of the law.
I wrote a Substack specifically with the question, FBI and DHS, are these the domestic terrorist organizations that we need to be addressing? And I argue absolutely, and I give specific examples. We went through it in detail, I think, in one of the episodes. Just to remind folks, I mean, literally, if you're thinking, oh, that's just ridiculous, that assertion that those are domestic terrorist organizations. Let's take a look at the FBI and what they've done. What did they do when they went and raided Roger Stone? Isn't that called a battery? And also larceny, as well as armed robbery is basically what occurred, because they also seized his digital devices, right? Mike Lindell, what was that called? Armed robbery, assault in a Hardee's parking lot? Absolutely. That's called larceny as well. So they're conducting these terrorist activities when they can just easily contact an attorney of a CEO of a successful company. It's just ridiculous what they're doing. And everybody sees that. They think that they can still hide behind faux news and buy time. Guess what, folks? More people are tuning into Lindell TV, your broadcast, right? And so more of these Patriot networks are coming out. And I exclusively only go on those networks that promulgate the truth. If anybody censors something, guess what? You're not going to get any of my time and attention, and hopefully more people that have consequential and breaking news to share do the same thing, and then people start to off-ramp off of big tech, off of big media, and then the truth platforms continue to rise, and that's when we're going to have a significant positive impact. Absolutely. On the national discourse.
All right, we haven't even gotten to what you're supposed to be on here to talk about, so we're going to have to move quick, because they still have Joe Hoft, Colonel Reynolds, and I just booked Roger Stone. With all this breaking news. I do want to give you this one real quick, folks. We'll deal with it tonight. Xi Jinping delivers chilling message for the West as he tells, quote, dear friend, end quote, Vladimir Putin, quote, change is coming that hasn't happened in 100 years, and we are driving it, end quote. These are all the news stories at worldviewreport.com tonight. Worldviewreport.com, which is your aggregated news site that's linked over at frankspeech.com. Also, by the way, we will deal with this tonight, and that is China are putting up all kinds of spy weapons to attack U.S. satellites. They've put up over 30 in the last 6 months alone to take down our ears and eyes should we go to war. Let's transition quickly to what you sent me. We have two videos in queue. Which one do you want to go to first?
Let's go ahead.
By the way, what did they call you in the Green Beret? Colonel, Commander, what did they call you?
No, they just called me Sir Ivan.
Sir Ivan. I mean, I don't know.
No,
I don't, one or the other. What do you have?
Or expletives, right?
We can't do that. What were your titles on the Green Beret side?
No, I mean, I was a detachment commander, so as a captain.
So I could call you commander. Were you a captain and then or as a commander?
As a major, I was a.
Oh, you're a major
commander.
Now.
No, I'm talking about through the ranks.
I know.
I started as a captain, a major, a company commander. I'm trying to keep up with you.
You were just moving
along. And then
along.
I became a lieutenant colonel.
Okay.
And then they went ahead and offered me my battalion command. And I said, no, I'm not going to participate in this lawless executive branch.
Okay,
I'm
so your last – wow. You're not – wow. So your last title was what? Lieutenant colonel?
Lieutenant colonel.
All right. So Colonel Ivan, what – show or clip here would you like to go to first? We have two clips, Colonel.
Whatever is the nearest one.
All right.
Go ahead and start with that one, and then we'll discuss it.
All right, let it roll there in the control room.
The day after the cyber symposium, I've been on DA. They've taken me off of the trusted traveler program for the Department of Homeland Security.
Actually, a little bit wider than waist.
Absolutely.
What I'm going to do is use the front of my hands, going to slide up and down the cloak part of your body. I'm going to get to the sensitive area. Back of my hands going to go up and down as well, side to side. I'm going to take both the inner and outer part of your leg. One hand on the outside, one hand on the inside. I'm going to go up until I get resistance and all the way back down. After that, I'm going to check both our hands. If everything goes well, it should be done in just a little minute. Do you have any painful or sensitive areas I need to be worried about?
Nope. All right. I just wanted to notify you that this is about to be coerced, Fourth Amendment rape.
Okay. Would you like to do this in a private screening area or is out here?
No, I want the public to see this.
Okay. Do you have any medical devices, internal, external, I need to worry about touching?
No, sir.
Okay. And you're able to stand for a few minutes with what's going on?
Yes, sir.
All right. Actually, I'm going to ask a little bit, and I don't want you to hit the window when you push your arm up. Get this a little bit sideways.
Yes, sir.
A little bit further than the nose. And if you wouldn't mind, have your both arms out for me like you're flying already.
Yes, sir.
Start here in the back around your collar. Would you lift up your shirt so I can see your waistline?
Yes, sir.
That'll be fine. That's just fine. You go ahead and put it down. So I'll go across the butt area in the back of my hand. Looking down the inner part of the leg. All right, sir. I'm going to do the exact same for the front part here. One more time with that waistband up on the full screen. Thank you, sir. You can put it back down.
Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz defied DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas and President Biden by saying this.
Does DHS have operational control of our entire border?
No, sir.
Wow. Did you put that together?
Yeah, so I had somebody help me put that together. But bottom line here is what I'm trying to convey, and this is total reality.
Well, let me tell you what I think you're trying to convey and see if you hit the mark. You served in our military. You are an American citizen. You are legally here in the Knights of America, and you have put your life on the line to serve this country in combat. I've seen the pictures and video. You are getting treated like you're a criminal and not trustworthy while your constitutional rights that you are to enjoy are violated. People that are not citizens of the United States of America have no constitutional rights because they're not citizens of the United States of America in one sense, don't have these, enjoy these rights that we do as American citizens. They're here illegally. They may indeed pose a threat. They very well could and may be terrorists, many of them of military age, and they don't apparently get frisked and groped. They get escorted right on over into American cities, and oftentimes we have to wonder, was their baggage even checked? Is that what you're conveying?
Absolutely. Perfect. I couldn't have said it better. This is a total embarrassment. I am embarrassed that this is going on. And it's not like I could really, you can tell that I could care less that it's happening to me, because let's be honest, the whole phrase of when the people fear the government, there's tyranny. When the government fears the people, it's freedom. Well, guess what? They fear me. They fear every single thing I do, everything I'd say, and every time I travel. You know how I know that? Is because some of these TSA agents are shaking when they're checking my things. Some of them, actually, this individual here, I told them, the only way you're going to proceed to conduct this Fourth Amendment rape is when you wear two masks. And he proceeded to do so, right? Bottom line is, psychologically,
why are they shaking?
We win against...
Why are they shaking? Is it because you turn on the colonel attitude and they realize you're dealing with someone that's used to commanding authority? Why are they shaking?
I don't know, other than the fact that when they see I have absolutely zero fear or concern when they do this to me, in the sense that, you know what, I'm going to assert my rights. I am going to call you out. At times, most of my flights, before we start the process, I tell them, sir, ma'am, please read the first sentence of the Fourth Amendment. They read it out loud. I have it recorded. I'll be putting out more videos about this. And then after they read it, I tell them, you are now knowingly and intentionally going to participate in violating my Fourth Amendment. I'm just putting you on notice. Now let's proceed. And then they proceed. And I basically tell them, you're being complicit in being a good little Nazi on behalf of the acting Secretary Mayorkas and this TSA administrator. And basically, they're doing the bidding of the Chinese Communist Party's agent who's currently squatting in our White House, Joseph Robinette Gieden. Okay? And I just say it as it is. And a lot of times when I travel, now that I've received the Hunter Biden laptop report from Garrett Ziegler's Marco Polo USA, I tuck it into my luggage so that they can look through it. And I say, yeah, that's one of the reasons why you're basically, I'm on this list, because I'm also investigating and showcasing the lawlessness of your beloved, what you call the resident in chief over at the White House.
Now your issue
is totally lawless and illegitimate.
And your issue isn't airport security. Your issue is that you're being singled out for more than just a typical screening. They're almost basically, they pull you aside and just short of
every single flight. And then Brandon, when I go to the gate, I'll have upwards of a dozen agents waiting at the gate to do yet another screening similar to what you
what
just saw.
What does it say about you? What does it say? What does it say about you and your file? What has got them so a dozen? What does it say about you?
I would love for it to be shown publicly what they have on me. Because guess what? They don't really have much. I mean, let's face it, right? If they had something on me, wouldn't I have been arrested already? Wouldn't they have raided me? No, because in the absence of anything that any reasonable person would consider any transgression, they would have already laid out the evidence, right? They would have already done it. But because there's nothing there, and they know I'm always on the line, basically giving the, not the index finger up in the air, and then four of those non-index fingers that are in the air, knowing where the line is, and always up to the line in my rhetoric, it fleshes them out. It forces them into making mistakes. Now, I get it. It's high risk. But no one else is doing it to call out this lawless executive branch at the level, scale, and the assertiveness that I'm doing. And I think that's probably the big reason. Mind you, to contextualize this, they put me on the secondary screening status, or I should say, they pulled me off of the Trusted Traveler program the day after the cyber symposium, which coincided
I meant to come back around to that while ago. And the video was so intriguing and was lengthy enough that I forgot. I want you to make sure our audience understands you were at the cyber symposium. You're talking about the one that was not in the Springfield, Missouri.
August of 2021.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Right. So I was, at that time, I was in the reserves, but I wasn't on duty that week because I didn't have drill. Also, I was a contractor within the Department of Defense teaching. I took paid time off during the days that the cyber symposium was taking place, meaning I'm totally in my personal private citizen Ivan Raiklin capacity exercising my First Amendment at a private event. Okay. The following day is the same day when what? Remember the DHS bulletin comes out the day after the conclusion of the cyber symposium, where the DHS puts out the domestic terrorist bulletin, where if you fall into the following three categories, you're considered a potential domestic terrorist. Number one, people like me that are articulating the state legislatures their plenary authority to do what they want with their electors, which potentially could remove Biden from office. Guess what? You're a domestic terrorist potentially. So we got to look at you. Number two, if you don't want to wear a face toilet, let alone two face toilets at the same time, then you're a potential domestic terrorist. And the third category was, if you're going to be meeting with your friends and family during the Christmas holidays, you're a potential domestic terrorist. Because guess what? They said, oh, you're not going to be – those were the real reasons. But they framed it as, oh, if you're against COVID measures, oh, if you're going to be meeting with family and against, you know, traveling and the 20-year anniversary of 9/11 and the holidays, and if you think that the election can be overturned, guess what? You're a potential domestic terrorist. And on all three of those, I'm probably one of the leading, most vocal advocates to showcase the fraudulent disinformation and mispronunciation by our good friends over at the DHS, calling them out for their lawless censorship, to include the FBI, which, you know, the FBI, Chris Wray, probably called over to the San Francisco field office, Joe Pietka III, who then called his employee, Elvis Chan, for Elvis Chan to go ahead and call Yoel Roth, Jim Baker, and Vijaya Gade over at Twitter 1.0 to go ahead and say, hey, censor the following content and the following people.
Wow.
Ivan being one of them. And the reason why they're coming after me, because look, how many people do you know can literally list these names and connect the dots?
I was just
and
thinking.
Know exactly who's doing what.
I was just
it's
saying.
It's because I'm investigating them.
I was just thinking, how does he know all those names in that order? Pretty good. All right, got to hurry.
Because I've been investigating these
One
punks.
More clip. One more clip. Go to it. Go to it, guys. Hold on. No, we don't have time to hold on.
Jason Bagshaw as the officer who was off duty when he shot and killed him.
Oh, no, no, no. You don't want to play the whole thing. If
okay.
you could.
So, okay, what do we want to play here?
Just bring up the tweet. Just bring up, if you can, bring up the tweet that references, because there's a bunch of links and videos. I want to just describe this for you, because I think this is going to be pretty important going into
okay, do it as fast
tomorrow.
As you can. I got Joe Hoff, Colonel Reynolds, and still Roger Stone. Go as fast as you can.
All right, give me 30 seconds once we pull this up.
All right, you got it, guys? It's not in the video. It's not in the tweet.
No, the tweet itself.
The tweet itself. Pull up the tweet itself, guys. All right.
Yeah, so as he's bringing up the tweet, bottom line, I'm going to kind of review it. So I, when I write my tweets nowadays, I put up the, like 2CC, basically who I'm trying to direct this to, but for the whole country, public to see what I'm doing.
Right.
So I send a tweet to the particular representatives. They're going to be responsible and trying to get justice for what I'm trying to advocate. So we tweet it out to the representative that represents Victoria White. Victoria White is the J6 woman, very petite, barely 100 pounds, that was brutally beaten by Metropolitan Police Officer.
You know, she called
Jason
into my
Bagshaw.
Show. You know, she called into my show a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wow. Nice. Nice.
You know, she's been listening to my show for years, and she called in and it said Victoria Rochester. And I said, is this Victoria White? It didn't have her last name, but I just know Victoria White's from Rochester. And she's been emailing me for years. So, I mean, I've known that she's been in our audience because she emails me so much over the years.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I know exactly who she was when her name got mentioned. Victoria White of Rochester, Minnesota. I'm like, wait a minute. That's the one that's always
Yes,
emailed.
That's her.
That's her. So when she called in the other day and said, it said on the caller screen, Victoria from Rochester, Minnesota. I'm like, is this Victoria White? And she said, yes, it is. And by the way, I've been listening to you for years. So we nice. Are very, very intimate with who she is because she has been an encourager and listener of us with nice, kind emails for years saying, keep going, keep going. And then this happens to the poor lady. And we're like, wait a minute, we know who this is. She listens to the Christian radio station, okay? A very traditional Bible teaching VCY America radio station in Rochester, Minnesota. This is a Christian, like, homeschool mom, for Pete's sake.
Right, absolutely. And I've met her. I mean, she was here in D.C. Bottom line is that I sent it to her Representative Finstad, and then CC'd Rep. Loudermilk, who's the chair of the Oversight Committee on House Administration, her attorney as well as, there you go, as well as her Twitter account. And it's basically showcasing, hey, guys, here's all the evidence we have to include the body cam footage of Bagshaw that we have based on the Rumble channel of Gary McBride. He's done all the research. And then the Gateway Pundit article, by the way, I'm teeing up the Hoff, one of the Hoff brothers, as we transition over to him, based on his reporting. Bottom line is all the information they need in order to convict him of attempted murder of one of the J6 election integrity rally attendees that was there with unarmed, peacefully trying to convey to America and Congress that the 2020 election was absolutely illegitimate and illegally conducted.
Wow.
So there you have it, Congress members. You have all the evidence, and when you don't act in the next week or so, guess what? We're going to come knocking on your door to remind you. And these guys mostly only respond to embarrassment and shame, and I'm more than happy to give my extra dosage of that.
Absolutely. Ivan Raiklin, you can watch his daily 30-minute show at WVWTV.com.
Tomorrow's going to be big, Brennan.
All right.
If you're somebody in the J6 community, tomorrow's massive potentially.
So I'm on the air from 1 to 2 Central live. So tip me off. If there's anything I can break on while we're on the air, 1 to 2 Central, 2 to 3 Eastern Standard.
Yes, sir.
All right. Ivan Raiklin, watch his show on demand or live at WVWTV.com. Thank you, Ivan.